This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. We're now more than halfway through Hispanic Heritage Month, which extends from September 15th through October 15th. In honor of those of Hispanic heritage here in Southwest Florida, WGCU is launching a week-long series of stories featuring the voices and perspectives of local Latinos from across the region, from all sorts of professions, genders, and backgrounds. We'll hear the first piece in that series. But first, in the second part of our show, we'll listen back to our conversation featuring live music from Southwest Florida LGBT artists, performers, and family members Kiki Lane and Duke Stamina. But first, Southwest Florida Pride returns to the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers this Saturday, October 6th, for its 10th year. Early years of the Pride Festival drew just a few hundred people, but it has since grown to include several thousand attendees coming together to promote peace, inclusion, acceptance, love, and to celebrate diversity. The family-friendly event includes food and refreshments, games, entertainment, and a marketplace, including a broad spectrum of LGBT-friendly vendors. Joining me now in studio for a preview of the upcoming event and to explore the grassroots history of LGBTQ activism that the festival celebrates is Charlie Grisler. He's a board member of Pride Southwest Florida, the local nonprofit behind the event. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Charlie, to start off, tell us what aspects of LGBT history or activism that, you know, a festival like this commemorates.
Well, our first Pride Festival here in Southwest Florida was actually put on at the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots in 1969. And at that time, and for those who don't know, the Stonewall Riots were basically based on the need for this declaration of freedom. Basically, there was a sit-in that was followed by a march that has now turned into Pride Parade based on some local officers that forced their way into the Stonewall Bar in New York City in the West Village and basically arrested individuals just for expressing themselves, being who they were as gay individuals of society. It also paralleled some things that were happening on the West Coast as well in San Francisco at that time, and that's kind of where Pride was born out of.
So yeah, largely considered a milestone event and often the birth of the modern gay civil rights movement.
Most definitely.
So this event is in October, and yes, as you said, a lot of LGBT Pride events are held in June. What is it about October that has made you chose this time of year for this event?
So our event is aligned with National Coming Out Day, which is October 11th. So each year we've had this event either close to that date before or after. To kind of align ourselves with the idea of being who you are and expressing who you are and being proud of that.
And October is, if I'm not mistaken, also LGBT History Month here in the U.S.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think President Obama, I believe, started that.
And I mentioned in my introduction that, you know, the number of attendees who come out to this event has grown exponentially over the years. Tell us about the growth of this event and its success.
Well, our original Southwest part of Pride event was 10 years ago. This is our 10th annual event. And it was held in a church parking lot of a non-denominational church. There were some local talent, musicians, drag queens. I think there was one food vendor. And there were about 200 people that year that attended, which 10 years ago was probably a significant turnout for an LGBT event that was thrown together in 6 weeks' time here in Southwest Florida.
Got it. And, you know, to what would you attribute the growing success of the event? I mean, is it like a mix of the efforts of this volunteer-run effort and our culture's growing acceptance, do you think, as a
whole? I would say, yeah, a culmination of both of those. We are 100% volunteer-based. We started that way, and we still are. We're a volunteer working board, and we simply couldn't put our event on without the volunteers that we have. We certainly – also, I'm going to plug that. We could certainly use more volunteers. If anyone is interested in volunteering for the event, they can go to Pride SWFL, as in Southwest Florida, pridesWFL.com/volunteers. We could always use the help and support.
Gotcha. So what first prompted you personally to get involved in this local Pride event? Because, you know, coming from New York, I imagine just the sheer scope and size of Pride events in a city of that size, it must have been a whole different animal.
Oh, it definitely was very different. A friend of mine and our current board president was part of Pride, and she implored me to come to a meeting. Little did I know that I would be so thoroughly involved after that first attendance. And for me, it's just been personally fulfilling. I felt very gratified in giving back to the community and help fostering the growth of our LGBT community here, especially coming from a place where it was so prominent. I felt that it was important to be part of that here as well, and it's been personally fulfilling for me to do so.
Gotcha. And let's just talk specifics about this year's event. As in past years, this is a family-friendly festival.
Yes, we are definitely family-friendly. We pride ourselves on being inclusive, and while we celebrate individuality in the LGBT community, that community also includes family units that have two moms or two dads or LGBT youth, and all are welcome. There are, you know, games, activities, crafts that everyone's welcome to participate. And I will say, while we love our family friends that are part of our furry friends that are part of our family, because of insurance and liability, we do ask that you leave your furry friends at home, as they're not allowed in the venue.
Okay. Kids, fine. Leave the dogs at home.
Yes,
got
please.
It. Got it. Okay. And, you mentioned there's going to be a number of activities, food vendors.
Yes.
I've noticed a number of, local musical performers who I know who are going to be at the event
yes.
as well.
We have several food vendors. Nice Guys Pizza is doing the VIP tent. There is a VIP tent with food, drinks, tables, chairs, shade for $40, and also includes admission to the event. Uncle Mikey's Food Truck, Curry's Smokin' Heart Barbecue, Rollin' Raw Bar, Kona Ice, Ackerman's, Hawaiian Shaved Ice, Dairy Free Island, and entertainers. We have, you know, a good amount of local entertainment. We have Halcyon, which is a Tampa-based duo with a very large following. Kelly Neff, who performed recently with Meredith Brooks, Lisa No, Delarian, local drag queens and DJs, DJ Mad Mel, DJ Kushi. So it's
all right.
Quite an event.
Well, and tell me about this marketplace of, LGBT-friendly vendors who are going to be participating. I mean, this covers a fairly broad scope of interest from religious organizations, politicians, craft brewers, and more.
We have quite a number of people in our vendor marketplace. I believe we have over 100 tents.
Oh, wow.
That include local community organizations, nonprofit organizations, LGBT-friendly businesses, food trucks, vendor sponsors. It's just quite a lot to take in.
Yeah. Well, in past years, I know that the Saturday main event has been preceded by a Friday night kickoff celebration. That tends to be a bit more formal. Is that going to be the case again this year?
That is not happening this year.
Okay.
From what I've heard. And we're not the organization that put on that event. But,
okay.
From the people that I do know that have been included in that in the past, I guess that didn't come to fruition this year for what circumstances, I'm not sure, but unfortunately there won't be a Tide with Pride event this year.
Gotcha.
So it'll just be our Pride Southwest Florida-based events on Saturday and the tea dance on Sunday.
Gotcha. Tell me about the tea dance on Sunday.
So the tea dance, this is our third tea dance. It's actually – we have a really good turnout. It's at Celsius Nightclub in downtown Fort Myers from 2 to 5. And it's just – it's a really nice event. Historically, other cities have a tea dance on Sunday. And – it's grown pretty quickly and done a lot better, I think, than we anticipated.
All right. And when I attended last year's main event on that Saturday, I was really struck by the number of what at least appeared to me to be opposite-sex parents there with their children, some of them pretty young. Do you think it's important for families with kids, even if no members of their immediate family identify as LGBT, to take part in something like this?
Well, yeah, and it's funny you bring that up because another board member and I had a discussion about that specifically, and it's actually very touching to see the outpouring and support for the LGBT community from allies, families, and friends. And society was different just 10 years ago when Pride Southwest Florida had their first event. Pride has changed for me as an individual over the course of my life as an out member of the community. But one of the most touching things for me is to see the parents who attend our festival with their LGBT child, and they buy them a rainbow flag that the kid is so proud to wear around their shoulders. And to see a parent fostering the individuality and the growth of their child, regardless of their sexuality, is just a rewarding thing being part of the LGBT community and part of an organization that pushes the growth of this community being widely accepted.
We're taking a closer look at this coming Saturday's 10th annual Southwest Florida Pride celebration in Fort Myers. That will be at the Alliance for the Arts on McGregor Boulevard. And we're speaking with one of the event's organizers, Charlie Grissler. If you've got a question or comment for us, you can join the show by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We're also on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Charlie, what would you say to someone whose perception may be that events like this aren't needed anymore? You know, after all that we've talked about, you know, how the culture has changed so much since Stonewall in terms of greater acceptance of LGBT people. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage nationwide in 2013. You know, that was 5 years ago now.
So I will say there's probably been a large change in what Pride has been historically over the last 40 years. You know, Pride was born out of the need for us to stake our claim in the community and be accepted and be who we are and fight for civil rights and our rights as human beings. It's probably progressed since then to be more of a celebration of that acceptance. But that doesn't mean that there isn't still strides to make in the community. Despite having same-sex marriage passed, you can be fired strictly just for being gay in a large number of U.S. states. So there are still things that we need to work for and try to achieve within our community and within society as a whole.
Do you think that there's still maybe kind of a pervasive, I guess, false idea that with the passage of, you know, removing gay marriage bans across the nation that, you know, the LGBT civil rights struggle is over?
It's definitely not over. I mean, I would love for that to be the case, but unfortunately that's not. I think we still have a very a long way to go before we do have equal rights for everyone as a whole, not even just the LGBT community.
Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned the lack of, you know, statewide anti-discrimination protections in the workplace. And I know that that's a bill that gets filed just about every year in the state legislature when they convene for their session. And often it doesn't even, you know, get voted on in committees. So that hasn't moved anywhere. We learned just this week that the State Department is no longer going to be allowing same-sex domestic partners of UN employees to get visas unless they're married, which, of course, is problematic given that only 12% of UN member states actually allow same-sex marriage. You know, we have a sitting vice president who became the first this year to speak at the Anti-LGBT Family Research Council's Value Voters Summit. President Trump became the first sitting president to do that last year. And then, of course, we've also seen the current administration taking steps against transgender people serving in the military. That's an issue we've explored extensively on past editions of this show. You know, and given all this, I'm just wondering if you look at events like this and think like maybe there should be a particular political or social message attached to it. Like, is there an education component or is this really more about affirmation and celebration?
This is probably the latter. This is probably more about affirmation and celebration. And in the process of celebrating our individualities within the community, we may share differing political or social views as individuals. And while political activism is important to change and progression as a society, as a nonprofit organization, we are impartial to any specific political cause.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the, you know, sponsors, you know, who are maybe are also vendors there, because this involves the Cape Coral popular establishment, Nice Guys Pizza, which folks may remember was in the news over something related to this event earlier this year.
Yes. Nice Guys Pizza is doing our VIP tent. They have been absolutely wonderful as a community partner for us. And just to extrapolate on that instance, they received a hateful, derogatory review on Google in regards to their business and supporting the LGBT community. And they turned that around along with Half Price Mattress and Fort Myers Printing Corps, I believe. The three of them banded together to create t-shirts that had that review printed on them. And they donated over $4,000 to Pride Southwest Florida from the sales of those t-shirts to basically support our cause and to spite those that unfortunately have a negative view of our community.
Yeah. Interesting that because it seems like this is primarily the funding that comes in to make an event like this happen every year comes from partners out in the community, from businesses, perhaps from individuals. And this can't be a an expensive thing to run considering you're going to have thousands of people there. But it's all volunteer driven, so the overhead's got to be pretty low.
We are 100% volunteer driven, but the overhead in terms of putting the event on costs a pretty penny,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But luckily, with our community partners, if I could just expound on that.
Sure.
B1039, Beasley Media, Suncoast Credit Union, Lamar Advertising, Seminole Casino, Suncoast Beverage, Bud Light, Nice Guys Pizza, GameStop, Creative Tent, Cruisers in the Cape, Macy's, Fifth Third Bank, World of Beer, Bury Me Brewing, Target, Butler Air, Florida Boo. A full list of our sponsors is available on the website, pridesswfl.com. And we do implore you to support those that support us. This event wouldn't be possible without them.
All right. And, you've lived in Southwest Florida for a number of years now. And I just wanted to get your take on if you've noticed any palpable changes in regard to LGBT acceptance here at the local level.
I would say Southwest Florida was a big change for me coming from New York City.
Right.
And I quickly realized that the LGBT was a smaller pocket community within Southwest Florida. And that took some getting used to. Being a seasonal town, we see an influx of residents during the winter months, and I believe our population triples, if I'm quoting my statistics correctly. But over the last 6 years of now living here, we've seen an influx of permanent residents, younger residents, and young families, and along with that, a growth in the LGBT community as well. And I've personally seen Southwest Florida grow over the years, first as an attendee and more recently as a board member and an event organizer.
Right, right. And I just wanted to mention, I remember covering the ribbon cutting for the Southwest Florida Harmony Chamber of Commerce back at the beginning of 2017, which is really an LGBT-friendly business chamber, a networking organization for businesses. Also, the Cape Coral City Council unanimously voted nearly 2 years ago to adopt anti-discrimination protections for LGBT city employees. It does look like we're seeing, concrete things begin to happen here.
Almost. Definitely.
And I also kind of wanted to explore your personal perceptions of the LGBT movement's adoption and continued use of the term pride. Like in earlier days of the movement, I think this more referred to kind of a defiant, we're here, we're queer, get used to it kind of pride. a gay teen at a pride event in those days might more likely have been someone who'd been disowned by their families for embracing their gay identity. Whereas today it's much more common that if you see a gay teen at an event like this, they might be there with their parents.
Right. And that's probably mostly what we see now is gay teens that have their parents in tow that are rocking their rainbow stickers mm-hmm. and very PFLAG parents and just proud of who their children are regardless of their sexuality and, who they are in society.
All right. Well, we are about out of time for this portion of the show. But, Charlie, are there any final thoughts you want to leave us with regarding this weekend's Southwest Florida Pride event?
Well, I'm just going to say the event details are this Saturday, Alliance for the Arts on McGregor Boulevard in Fort Myers from 11:30 to 5:30 p.m. And join us on Sunday for the tea dance at Celsius, downtown Fort Myers from 2 to 5. That event is 21 and up, just so we're aware.
Okay. Well, Charlie Grisler, you're a board member with Pride Southwest Florida at the local nonprofit behind this Saturday's Southwest Florida Pride Festival. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And folks can find more information online at pridesswfl.org, or you can search for the Facebook event page. Just type in SWFL Pride 2018. We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll hear an encore presentation of our conversation featuring live music from Southwest Florida LGBT artists, performers, and family members Duke Stamina and Kiki Lane. And later this hour, we'll hear the first of WGCU's week-long series in recognition of National Hispanic Heritage Month. I'm John Davis, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.